If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs 26, and I want to direct your attention to two verses here in Proverbs 26. But as way of introduction, let me begin by asking a few questions. How do you respond to an unbeliever who says that God is not real and Christianity is only a fantasy of man's imagination? How should we respond to a member of a cult who says that the Bible cannot be fully trusted? What should we say to those who tell us that God is okay with people of the same sex to marry, and they proclaim that actually God is the one who actually created people with those desires? What do we say to the professing Christian who thinks that it would be more effective to reach people for Christ by attending the local bars and dance clubs? What should be our response to the believer who says that God told them to live with another individual who is not their spouse? And what should you do when others want you to join them in their foolish practices and respond to their foolish questions? Well, the answer to these questions and 1,000 more similar questions are found in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. And I've titled the lesson tonight, How to Deal with Fools and Folly in a Wise Way. How to deal with fools and folly in a wise way. The truth of the matter is, depending on how much we rub shoulders with other people throughout the day and week, we are constantly bombarded with fools and foolishness. We are constantly bombarded with fools and foolishness because we live in a sinful world and sin makes people do foolish things. And just this last week alone, I was approached by 3 individuals within our church family seeking counsel about specific situations in their life that they are dealing with in their family and in their workplace and in the local church. And in 2 of the 3 conversations that I was in this last week, I specifically referred to these 2 verses, Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, and I sought to give practical application within their specific situation. And so I thought this week, as a way to equip not just 2 or 3 individuals, but the entire church, I thought it would be beneficial to expound on these verses, making it into a lesson for all to profit from. Proverbs 26, beginning verse 4, the Bible says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse 5, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Let me give you my main headings of this lesson if you are taking notes. The first main heading, it's apparent contradiction. That's what we see first. It's apparent contradiction. Number 2, the biblical description of fools. Number 3, its meaning. We're going to draw the meaning of these 2 verses. And number 4, its application. So we start with our first point, its apparent contradiction. Now, upon reading these verses initially, it may seem like the author is contradicting himself. He says 2 different things, it seems. In verse 4, we are encouraged not to answer a fool. And in verse 5, we are encouraged to answer a fool. We are forbidden to answer, yet commanded to answer. So which one is it? Is this a contradiction? Is the author bipolar? Is this a translation error? Has God made a mistake by putting it into the Word of God? Well, it's important to know here at the get-go of our lesson, at the beginning of our lesson, that this is not a contradiction. And the author is not bipolar. And there is not a translation error, and God did not make a mistake by recording it in Scripture. Now, we ask this question, how do we know that? Because some, if you were to type contradictions in the Bible on Google, some will point to this very passage and say, this is a contradiction. Therefore, the Bible cannot be trusted. But as believers, we know that this is not a contradiction for a few reasons. Number one, we know that it's not because God is true. God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are true. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. John 14:6, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, the life. And Jesus tells us in John 16:13 that the Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And because God is true, we can also see that God's Word is true. The Bible tells us this in Psalm 19, beginning in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. David tells us in Psalm 19 that God's word is true, it's perfect, it's righteous. Jesus prays, John 17:17, Jesus praying to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Scripture is perfect because it comes from a perfect God. Its author is the Spirit of truth. God is without sin. God is without contradiction. And so we know that Proverbs here, 26, verses 4 and 5, it is not a contradiction. God cannot and does not contradict himself. If he contradicted himself, he would be the author of confusion. But what does the Bible tell us in 1 Corinthians 14:33? God is not the author of confusion. Who is the author of confusion? Our enemy, Satan, the enemy of God. So any apparent contradictions that we come across, we need to remember these things. Any apparent confusing things that we read of in the Bible is not God's fault, it is our fault. One author says, it is our own prejudice, foolish expectations, and carnal fancies that make Scripture difficult. In other words, he is saying, if we come to a hard place in Scripture in which we find it difficult to understand, the problem is not with God, the problem is with us. Just because we struggle to understand something in the Bible does not mean that it is false. Okay, you will meet people like that. Well, I just don't logically get it, therefore it is not true. Well, God is God and we are man. We are His created beings. And God, being God, has the wherewithal to be God. And He doesn't have to explain every minute detail to us. Now, He has given us His Word, and His Word reveals exactly what He wants us to know. And this truth is in His Word, and so we can know it. So if we come to a portion of Scripture in which we fail to understand it, we need to pray over it, study it, and meditate upon it until God shows us its proper meaning. So let me give you, for instance, and we won't dive into these, but these are just for you to take home and think about. 2 Samuel 24:1 says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and God moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. But then in 1 Chronicles 21:1, we have the same account, and we read this, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. So which is it? God or Satan? One verse says that it was God who moved David to number Israel. The other verse says that it was Satan that moved David to number Israel. Contradiction? Homework. Acts 2:23. Peter, the day of Pentecost, says, "Him, Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So Peter says that Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but it was the Jews who took him and slew him. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53 that it pleased God to bruise Christ. It pleased God to crush Christ. Yet we read in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that it was the Roman soldiers that took Christ and crucified him. So which is it? Was it a divine decree or man's will? Something for you to take and think about. Paul says in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation, but we know that salvation is not of works. But then he says it is God that works in us to do of his good pleasure. Which is it? Have I confused you? Contradictions? Are these contradictions? Are these errors? No. I look at them as opportunities for us to seek out the meaning. And that's what we're going to do tonight in Proverbs 26. So we consider first its apparent contradiction. It is not a contradiction, but it is a message of truth for us to study. Our second main point tonight, the biblical description of fools. So let's ease into unraveling this statement, these two statements, by considering what the Bible says about fools. "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." The Hebrew word for fool here, in our modern vernacular, would be similar to saying one who is being stupid or silly. And we could safely read the verse as saying, "Answer not a stupid or silly person according to their stupidity or silliness. Answer a stupid, silly person according to their stupidity and silliness." And the word fool is referring not to one's IQ, not to one's intellect, but to their thoughtless words and actions. And also upon studying the scriptures, searching scriptures, we will find that fools are contrary to wise men and wisdom, not merely on an intellectual basis, but on a spiritual basis. So when the Bible speaks of wisdom and foolishness, he is referring to a spiritual wisdom and a spiritual foolishness. And the wisdom that the Bible speaks about is a wisdom that is associated with one's relationship with God. A wisdom is not one who is on a TV game show and is able to win the $1 million prize. No, a wise man in the scripture is one who is living according to the commandments of God. A wise man in the scripture is one who is striving to be holy, true, just, hardworking, honest, or we could say a person of integrity. On the contrary, a foolish person is one who lives contrary to scripture, one not walking in the ways of God. An unwise person is unholy, dishonest, unjust, lazy, a person who lacks character and integrity. So it deals with the spiritual nature of a person, wisdom and foolishness. There are a lot of people who are not intellectual, who are very wise, according to the Bible. And the opposite is true. There are people who are very intellectual, who are very foolish, according to the Scriptures. So investigating deeper into the book of Proverbs, we find that the word foolishness, fools, is defined for us all throughout. So let's go through Proverbs here real quickly and let's listen to the following characteristics which describe the fool. And I'm taking it from the book of Proverbs alone. Proverbs 1:7, the Bible says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:22, the Bible says fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. So already in those first three verses we read that a fool is not hungry to gain spiritual knowledge. No, they with a hard heart and stiff fists towards God say, I want to live according to my knowledge and wisdom. Proverbs 12:15 tells us that fools are proud people. It says there, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Proverbs 14:9 tells us that fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 15:2, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. If you want to know a fool, you want to see a fool, listen to the one who's just uttering out foolish things. Like a fire hose just coming out. Stupidity, silliness, frivolous, ungodly things, things of this world. Proverbs 15:14, the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So it poureth out foolishness because fools feed on foolishness. Proverbs 10:18, we read, those who utter slander is a fool. Foolish people are angry people, we read in Proverbs 12:16. A fool is one who is contentious, Proverbs 18:6. A fool is one who trusts in his own heart, Proverbs 28:26. How's that one for Disney? One who utters all his mind and being hasty in his words, that's a fool, Proverbs 29:11, Proverbs 29:20. So with these characteristics in our mind, with a better understanding of how a fool lives and what a fool looks like, let's now look at our third point and consider the meaning of our text. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Are you still with me tonight? Okay, what does this mean? Well, simply put, this means sometimes you should answer a fool, and sometimes you should not answer a fool. Verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. The author of Scripture here is teaching us that sometimes a fool is not to be answered at all. He is to be avoided and left to his stupidity. They are to be ignored because their foolishness does not deserve an answer. Sometimes foolish people only say things to stir up others, and there really is no hope of having a humble, intelligent conversation with them. So to speak of the truth and of things that matter will only be a waste of our time. So he says, answer not a fool. And we can also draw from Proverbs 23:9, and it tells us here, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. But verse number 5, we see the opposite. He says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now this speaks of the need of rebuking foolish people. When someone is honestly confused or in their foolishness, they cause others to stumble or to fall into error, they are to be confronted with their foolishness. That's what it's saying. They are to be confronted with their foolishness so that might be exposed as foolishness and they might turn from their foolish ways and cling to truth. So sometimes you should say something, and sometimes you should not say something. And I know what you're thinking. How do we know when not to speak and when to speak? Well, I'm glad you asked. This leads us to our fourth point. It's application, where I want to spend most of our time here. It's application. We want to be wise servants of Christ, don't we? We want to walk according to the truth of God's Word. We don't want to be foolish servants. We want to be used in life to help others. So how can we know when to answer a fool and when not to? Well, you're not going to like my answer at first. My answer is there is no definite answer. There is no objective answer. It does not say thou shalt answer every third time. Thou shalt answer on Tuesdays only. You only answer fools wearing blue shirts. It doesn't say that. There's no objective, definite answer. But the best answer I can give you is you must walk in step with the Spirit of God. And to walk in step with the Spirit of God is to be led of the Lord. And to be led of the Lord regarding when to speak and when to hold your tongue, you must practice these four things, all right? Four truths of application. Number one, you want to know when to speak and when not to speak. You must pray daily for guidance. You must ask God if you should say anything at all. And if God does want you to say something, ask God when you should say something. And if God tells you to say something and when to say something, you need to ask God how you should say it. Because different situations present themselves into different answers. Sometimes it's needful to give a loving yet strong rebuke. Other times, it's needful to give a loving and humble correction. We need to ask God in prayer to guard our mouth. We see the psalmist doing this in Psalm 141:3. He prays, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." So we want to know how to do this. When to speak and when not. Well, we must pray. What does James tell us? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So we want wisdom in our dealings with others. So we need to pray for God to lead us and to guide us each and every day. Okay? You speak with your neighbors. You have a job. You're surrounded by men and women in the workplace. You have family members who think it is a sport to get on your nerves. Here's our modern day problem. You're on Facebook and you see comments that might possibly be foolish. And you're quick to click the comment button. Pray. Number two, you must be filled with the knowledge of God's Word. How do we know when to speak and when not? Well, you must be filled with God's Word. And being filled with the knowledge of God's Word, you will have truth that will be able to set men free from the bondage of their foolishness. You see, if we are to help people, fools, out of their foolishness, we are not going to do it in our own power and strength. We are not going to do it by our own ability to reason. The only way we are going to have victory is if we use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So in asking God if, when, or how to say something, in the Scriptures, we will learn how other godly men and women responded to fools. We need to read the Scriptures. How did David deal with foolish men? We'll look at this later. How did Christ deal with foolish men? How did Moses deal with foolish men? And if it was a God-glorifying account here, and it wasn't an opportunity for God to discipline that servant, well, we have something to learn from. So we need to study the Scriptures. We need to study the God-glorifying responses that will help us in our dealings with men. So number one, pray. Number two, be filled with the knowledge of God's Word. Number three, examine your own heart. Examine your motives. So somebody says something really foolish. Somebody does something really foolish, and you're about to go to them. But before you go to them, or as you're pondering if you should go to them, examine yourself and ask yourself questions like this. Why do you wish to rebuke that person? Why are you confronting the foolish person? So you can win an argument? So you can appear more wise in the eyes of others? Or is there a genuine desire to help? A pure motive to point them to the truth of Scripture. So examine your heart. And Jesus taught on this in the New Testament. When we deal with others, we need to make sure that there's not a beam in our own eye as we try to pull out the speck in somebody else's. We don't want to be hypocrites. So we need to examine ourselves. And Paul tells us, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And we can only be spiritual as we abide in Christ, as we walk with the Lord, as we pray, and as we are filled with the knowledge of His will, and as we examine our own foolishness. In 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, fools have a way of drawing other people in and persuading them to join them in their foolishness. And we need to examine ourselves before we go. And number four, we must examine the spirit of the fool. Do they really desire to be instructed? If they are asking questions, does Adam and Eve have, did they have a belly button? Can God make a rock so big that He cannot move it? If they're asking questions, are they asking to understand or to argue and debate? And do you sense a spirit of pride? Ask yourself, how have they responded to others in the past who have lovingly gone to them? And sometimes the Bible tells us it would be better to meet a mama bear robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his folly. That's a strong illustration. It would be better to meet a bear than a fool. But other times, we need to understand, we might be used of God to help somebody see through their foolishness. So there's that both sides. So the next time you see a foolish Facebook post, the next time you hear a foolish statement from a friend or coworker, you can apply these four steps and discern if or how you should respond. Let's, for a few moments, look at some biblical examples of not answering a fool according to their folly in both the Old and New Testament. So the Bible tells us here in Proverbs 6, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Do we see that in Scripture? Sometimes others have, sometimes they have not. Well, yes, we see biblical examples of not answering a fool according to their folly. In Exodus chapter 15, we have Moses and the Israelites. And the Israelites are complaining to Moses about a lack of water. And we find Moses going directly to God, and he does not rebuke them. Now, there were other times that Moses did, but that time he did not. 2 Samuel 16, David and Shimei. Shimei, a member, family member of Saul, comes to David. throws rocks at David, curses at King David, and David does not retaliate. He does not respond to Shimei's foolishness. He said, let him alone. God will take care of him. Luke chapter 20, Christ and the Pharisees, you know this portion of Scripture. The Pharisees come to Christ and say to Christ, by what authority do you do these things? And Jesus answered, and he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or men? And they responded with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believed ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. So sometimes just responding to a question with a question to show them their own foolishness and let them think through things is a help. He didn't answer it. He answered it, but he didn't answer it. Remember Paul's wisdom to Timothy? Over and over. And Paul told Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and Paul told Titus, these young preachers, to protect themselves from foolish people and foolish questions. Over and over, Paul tells Timothy, shun profane babblings. Don't give heed to fables, endless genealogies. Avoid unlearned questions that gender strife. The ministry is not about that. Don't get involved in debates, Timothy. Declare the word. Foolish people will steal all your time away from you. But you preach the word. Now some will come sincerely with questions and be like a loving mother to them and nurse them in the truth. But if others are just coming with endless genealogies and foolish questions and profane babbling, nah, don't give your time. Avoid them. Answer not a fool according to their folly. But then we also see in Scripture biblical examples of answering fools according to their folly. 1 Samuel 2, we have Samuel reproving Eli. And Samuel reproves Eli for his lack of discipline toward his children. His children were doing sinful and wicked things, and Eli got a little loose in his parenting, and Samuel reproves Eli for it. Foolishness was going on in the home, and Samuel confronts that. How about 2 Samuel 12? We have the prophet Nathan being sent of God to go to King David so that he might be confronted with his wickedness. King David was in an adulterous affair. King David committed murder. And the prophet Nathan reproves King David. The prophet Nathan answers the fool according to their folly. What about Job? Job 2, Job loses everything. Job's wife comes to Job and says, are you going to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. What does Job do? Should we put it in the modern day vernacular? Listen, woman, shall we not receive good from the hands of God and not evil? You're speaking as one of the foolish women, he says. So Job answers a lady who's acting foolishly according to her folly. Now I know, I'm sure he did it in love. This is his wife. But it needed a strong answer. Galatians 2, we have Paul confronting Peter. And Paul confronts and rebukes Peter for fearing men over God and not acting consistently. And Jesus to Peter, you know this, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. But Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said to Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. There's Jesus answering a foolish statement with truth. So do we respond to foolishness and foolish men? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we don't. You are going to be confronted time and time again. The opening questions that I have been questions that have been posed to me over the years. Sometimes you just want to shake your head and say, Are you serious? Is this a true statement? But how do we know? How should we answer? How can we deal with fools and folly in a wise way? Well, we have biblical examples before us to read and to learn from. I've given you steps in which you can implement to be led of the Lord in your life. And we also have the wisdom of Solomon, most likely in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, that says, Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit.